Chapter 1. All around me, my soldiers and monster women bustled as we prepared to transform Burskan's aristocrats. Within the last few days, we'd arrived, infiltrated, and captured the Marchioness. When I glanced over my shoulder and looked behind me, I spotted her easily inside a cage all by herself. Samilla was slumped over with her eyes tightly closed and neon pink hair covered most of her face. But her lips pursed as if she were having a bad dream. With the core in our possession, it now held all of her powers, and there wasn't really a need to keep her sedated, but we kept her that way because her incessant squabbling and screaming grew to be too much for all of us. In a few minutes, we'd take Samilla inside the caravan and transform her into a brand new monster woman. Her life was about to drastically change, but it was for the better.
Charles?
A low, feminine voice called from the left of me.
Are we ready to begin? We have a lot to do before we can head out to Granum.
I swiveled my head in the direction of the woman's voice and laid my eyes on Daisy. The brunette stepped forward through the falling autumn leaves, and her honey-colored eyes sparkled in the bright afternoon sunlight. Her short, chin-length chocolate-brown hair shifted around her round face, and when she smiled, the corners of her eyes wrinkled happily. She was the smallest of my monster women, but that didn't mean she wasn't powerful. Long ago, I'd watched as she ripped five of the Duchess's guards apart with her bare hands, and I marveled at the sheer strength she held in her tiny body.
Yeah!
Another voice giggled.
Let's hurry up and finish, then we can hit the road!
My eyes moved through the trees as the feline woman jumped from branch to branch. Finally, the cat girl landed on a thick one, gripped it tightly in her hands, and then flipped down to the yellowing grass below. You're pretty energetic this afternoon, I chuckled.
It's a beautiful day,
Valerie grinned.
Not only that, but we're bringing more Monster Girl sisters into the world. What's not exciting about that, Charles?
Valerie's wide, oceanic blue eyes glittered happily as she skipped over, launched herself forward, and cartwheeled hand over hand to where Daisy and I stood.
I have to say,
a boisterous voice broke in.
After Cecilia's transformation, I'm pretty excited to see what the rest of the monster women look like. I'm an imp, so I'm aware that I look like some sort of demon summoned from the netherworld, but Cecilia looks like a beautiful, sultry succubus.
The black-haired beauty brushed her dark hair over her shoulder, pressed her taloned hands into her wide hips, and then glanced over all of the busy soldiers. Her yellow eyes burned intensely like the stocked coals of a lively fire. Her thick lips pushed out for a moment as she thought, and then she turned back toward the three of us with a crooked smile.
I'll truly be happy when we've rid ourselves of the horrible Samilla.
A sultry, purring voice uttered right over my shoulder, and I turned to face the speaker. Edeny leaned closer to me and pressed a tender kiss to my cheek. Her colorless white hair laid across one bare shoulder, and her sharp violet eyes settled on the doll-like woman slumped against the bars of the cage. Her thick lips pressed into a thin line, and her smooth forehead wrinkled for a second. I loved all of my women equally, but I had to admit, Edeny's facial features were the most striking out of all of them. When I looked at her, it was clear her mother had picked out the handsomest consort to breed with. Edeny was the product of impeccable breeding, and when she looked at me, it sent shivers down my spine. I'd seen the Duchess's mother on multiple occasions, and thought she was beautiful despite all her horrendous views on men and my sex. I wondered what the rest of my women's mothers looked like. Daisy certainly didn't look like Delphine, maybe a younger version of that woman, but when I'd met her, she'd been nothing more than an old, wrinkly crone.
I hope Samilla turns out like Cecilia,
another voice reached us.
The combination of the Drake's powers and the Marchioness's is something I've never seen before, and I hope as we collect more and more of the Marchioness's powers, it'll only become stronger and more impressive.
The turquoise-haired Nyx woman stepped forward and held her thin hands behind her back. Her mint-colored eyes glowed, and a small, shy smile spread over her lips. Cleia was tall and thinner than most of my women, but her hips were wide and her breasts enormous. When she moved, her large chest bounced, jiggled, and swayed, and it was hard for me to keep my member down from all of the arousal. "I have a hunch about that," I uttered. "When I read about the elemental cores, the book mentioned something called fundamental permutation. There wasn't a lot of information about it, and when I tried to research it in other places, I found nothing, or barely a mention of it. From what I could surmise, it's essentially the combination of two cores, The more you collect and combine, the more powerful it becomes.
How do we do it, then?
Valerie asked.
Did the book specify what we'd have to do to combine them?
No, I shook my head. I have no idea how to do it, or if it even work.
We'll just have to find out.
Daisy grinned.
We'll get another core and try a bunch of things out. I'm sure that there's something in your alchemy books that we could try.
Sure, I chuckled. There's no harm in trying, and if it doesn't work well, then we have another core to use once the other ones wear out and crumble to dust.
Shall we get started, Charles?
Cleia asked.
I know that you're itching to get on the road to Granum.
Yes, I nodded and then scanned the crowd for my trusted soldier. Askara, over here! The older man lifted his head from what he was doing, cracked a wide grin, and then hustled over in his heavy silver armor. Once he reached us, he planted his feet and saluted me respectfully.
Yes, my lord, the guard uttered. What can I do for you?
Prepare the aristocrats. Have your men line out of the caravan's door, and once another batch of monster women comes out, bring in another one. I want to leave Burskan as soon as we finish, but just like Edenheart, we'll leave a few soldiers and monster women here to make sure we've captured all of the aristocrats.
Yes, sire.
The guard smiled, bowed low to me, and then hustled off to shout orders to the other soldiers.
What about Samilla?
Daisy asked.
We're transforming her first, right?
Yes, my love, I nodded. Let's bring her inside and begin.
Where's Josephine?
Ryan asked.
And Cecilia?
I sent the two of them down into the city, I replied. To make sure we got all of the aristocrats and the consorts out.
A lot of the houses in cities like these have something like bunkers,
Edeny explained.
Something like hidden rooms, secret doors in walls or in the floorboards. So the two of them are going through the city with some of the army and monster women to look for anyone hiding out. Though I doubt they'll find anyone. We all know how aristocrats are. They'd rather fight than hide inside their houses. They fully believe that they're more powerful than anyone else and can win any battle that comes their way. If they don't find anything,
Daisy shrugged,
they can just bring back the aristocrats' money and other valuables that we can sell in other cities along the way. We received a lot of things we could sell back in Edenheart, but eventually, if we continue buying supplies or shoes, Valerie, we're going to run out at some point.
The six of us moved toward Samilla's cage, and one of the soldiers rushed forward to unlock it for us. The drugged woman didn't wake or stir as I stepped inside and bent my knees. I easily grabbed and hauled her over my shoulder before stepping out of the cage. She was light. She could have been a child. And when I glanced at her face out of the corner of my eye, her face was smooth and serene in whatever dream state she was currently in. I wondered for a moment what would she look like when she went through the machine. What would it be like for her when she came out? She'd receive some of her powers back with a few added abilities from the Drake, but would she look more like Josephine and her Drake Legion, or Cecilia with her strange tattoo-like markings, horns, and tail? Not only that, but what kind of power would she wield? What could I even call the combination of the Drake's powers and the Marchioness's? How Cecilia came out was totally different than the rest of my monster women, but I knew I had to get used to it. If we continued on with the experiments while using the core, more and more of my monster women would come out as odd mixtures of beasts and powers. I walked toward the door into the caravan, and Cleia rushed forward. The turquoise-haired woman opened the door for me and gestured for the rest of us to come inside. We hurried to the back cabin, and once we reached it, I rested the Marchioness against the rough wooden flooring.
"Well, well, well," a familiar voice boomed inside my head. "Welcome back to my lab. I hope you enjoy your time here, and hopefully you can take me out of this goddamn tank once in a while. When I agreed to come along on this journey, you promised I'd see the world. The most I've seen is that damn tree out the window, and we haven't moved since."
"Good afternoon to you too, A.B., I chuckled. "The battle finished up nicely. This is the Marchioness, Samilla. We just finished up capturing her. I'm sure you would have loved to go out and battle against the aristocrats. But as you stated prior, if you were to do that, they would have kicked you around like a ball. So be grateful you had a tree to stare at and not the sky from a dirty gutter after they kicked you across the whole town." A.B. fell silent for a long time, and the rest of us waited for him to respond. The brain bobbed nonchalantly in his crystal clear liquid, swiveled a little bit in my direction, and then sighed in defeat.
"All right, all right," the brain chuckled. "You win this one, Charles. All right, so this Marchioness of the town, I assume that she's going to be the first monster woman made here?"
"Oh, no," I shook my head, crossed the room, and grabbed the small container of my blood from a shelf. Cecilia was the first person in Briscan to become a monster woman. You haven't met her yet, but I'm sure you'll love her.
Hey! The brain barked. I've been here for every monster girl created, and you didn't bring me in from on top of the mountain to watch? That's not fair!
Sorry, A.B. It was just one. And I'm sure that you'll be there for all the other experiments, once I finally build you a body.
Wait, the brain gasped. You're building me a body? You're really going to do it?
Yes, I nodded. I don't have all of it fleshed out yet, but I have quite a few ideas. From my prior testing of your spinal fluid and your gray matter, you're pretty resilient. Whoever created you never intended for your consciousness to die, and I'm sure if I kept you in this state, you'd live on until the world ended.
Flesh out, the brain giggled. Very clever. But, Charles, are you saying what I think you're saying? I can't die?
Technically, yes. You don't have a body that will grow old or rot, nor do you have any other organs that are susceptible to diseases. Unlike the rest of us, you don't need food, water, or air to live. You merely exist. I'm not sure how the scientist created you, but she did so beautifully. Though, her means were horrible and disgusting. When I found you, you were in a pretty bad state. But as I nursed you back to health, I slowly realized that if I left you alone and only cleaned your tank every few weeks, you'd probably survive.
A.B.,
Valerie whispered.
Have you remembered anything else about your past? You told us a little bit before we left the manor, but I'm interested to learn more about your past.
Only flashes here and there, the brain sighed. But none of it is from the initial extraction. I remember how we worked together and how I served her so diligently. I realized after reliving all of these memories, I was in love with her. I think I told you all that before, but I was really in love with her. She promised me that I could become her permanent consort if I went through the extraction, though I had no idea what that entailed.
Charles?
Valerie broke in.
Do you think this is the same scientist we've heard about? The one who made the super soldier and attacked the Queen's convoy?
I doubt it, I shook my head. I seriously doubt that someone who could do such horrible things as that would attack the Queen. The scientist who extracted A.B. is probably some other woman who wholly agrees with everything the Queen does. Well, not only that, but A.B. is fairly old, so the scientist who created him is most likely dead and gone by now.
I wish we could find her,
the bear girl spat.
And rip out her entrails. You know we can't do that.
Ryan chuckled.
We have to transform all of the aristocrats into monster women.
Silence draped itself over our shoulders as we prepared for the experiment, and what Ryan said weighed on me. I'd already discussed it with a few of my other women, and I'd heard their thoughts on what we should do with the queen. But did that mean that all aristocrats were deserving of redemption? Did the scientist who did this to A.B. deserve to become a monster woman and live out her life happily, or did she deserve to die? A.B. certainly wasn't miserable in his state, but I couldn't speak for a reanimated brain inside of a jar of cleansing liquid. I shifted my gaze toward him as I carried Samilla toward the open door of Compartment B. From what I'd learned, the brain could see, but only ever so slightly. He could also hear and speak, but only through telepathy, which only stemmed from my blood's power. Was he happy? I didn't even want to answer that. Sure, he probably had moments of happiness, but for the most part, he was trapped inside a jar where he couldn't move or wander around freely. His social interaction only came when we entered the makeshift laboratory or if we moved him into another room. A.B., I stated, are you happy?
What do you mean? The brain asked.
From your memories, I started and then paused. Do you think you were happier in your body? Or are you content in the state that you're currently in? What I'm trying to ask is, are you happier without your body? I try to imagine what it'd be like if I were just a brain floating in a jar, and I simply cannot.
Charles, A.B. muttered, you ask me this, and I can't really answer because I don't remember what it's like having a body. I don't know what it feels like to have arms or legs anymore. When those memories came back, specifically the one where I was tied to a chair, it was so alien to me. I had the use of my arms and legs, but I was restrained. I couldn't move no matter how hard I fought. I don't remember what it was like to walk or what it feels like to reach out and grab something. I've lost all my sense of touch, so I would say that, yes, I'm content in this form, but I'm not happy in it.
Why do you ask, Charles?
I've been thinking a lot the past few days, I uttered, and all of my women turned to listen with intrigued expressions. There are actions in this world that are unforgivable. Things that aristocrats have done that are inexcusable. I believe if we found the scientist who did this to AB, I would allow you to kill her. Men have been treated so lowly throughout the years. We've been workers, sex slaves, pack mules, and science experiments. I know your views on the Queen already and what you think we should do with her, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about abuse that oversteps the norm. AB is a case that we cannot ignore. What happened to him goes above and beyond the normal things that aristocrats put their men through, and whoever did this to him should be punished.
So?
Ryan giggled maniacally.
Does this mean we can finally kill someone?
Yes, I nodded, but within reason. We're not going to run around and kill people willy-nilly. They have to have crimes that go beyond what normal aristocrats do.
I think that's a good idea, Charles.
Edany nodded.
Though, there are a lot of aristocrats who treat their servants, workers, and consorts poorly.
No, you're misunderstanding me. I shook my head. We all know that the aristocrats treat men badly. I mean aristocrats who go out of their way to torture their servants, experimenting on them scientifically, for example. The rest of them get turned into monster women. Those whose crimes aren't as harsh receive redemption, but there are certain things that are not forgivable. I lugged Samilla's limp body into the compartment, slung her down onto the floor, and then brushed off my hands before I closed the door tightly behind me. My women regarded me in a pensive silence, and when I glanced over at the Duchess, the she-wolf clutched her elbows and stared down at the rough wood at her feet. She looked upset, and when I cleared my throat, the wolf woman slowly raised her face to mine.
"Were my crimes forgivable, Charles?"
Edany asked.
"Why wasn't I punished for what I did to you? Not only you, but all the others. I'm sure you heard stories about my past and what I used to do with poachers who were caught hunting on my land. Why wasn't I punished? Why was I chosen for redemption?"
"Because I saw you," I explained. "I saw you and knew you before you were transformed. The Edany I met out on the street was a vicious, cunning woman who'd do anything to get what she wanted. But you have to understand, I saw the other sides of you. You loved Edenheart furiously, and you did everything within your power to protect it. Yes, I may have said I could never love you, even after I transformed you, but look at us now. You were worthy of being transformed, even if you don't believe it deep down in your own heart. I believed you were, and that's what matters. You deserve to live a different life and become a different woman." A small smile snaked over the Duchess's plump lips, and finally her arms dropped from around her into a more relaxed position. I glanced over the rest of my women and pressed my clenched fists onto my hips as I began to speak again. "I need all of you to listen to me," I boomed. "You are here for a reason. Valerie was a happy accident that created a domino effect of creation. Each of you used to be an aristocrat who treated either me or other men horribly, and yet, all of you stand before me as monster women. Daisy, you were Delphine, and she tried to trick me into becoming one of her consorts. Ryan, you were once Hortensia, who tried to have me jailed and then attempted to kill me when you couldn't pin a crime on me. Cleia, you were Killara, who was sent by the Queen to spy on us and kill me in the end. All of you were very different people than you are today, and there's a reason for that. Because I saw sparks within you. Reason to believe that you could live better lives as monster women, and I transformed you without any regrets. Lately, I've been hearing you speak about this a lot, and I'll tell you right now, I don't like it, and it has to stop. All of you were used in the experiment for a reason. Yes, a few of those reasons were to escape my own death, but I could have killed you. I didn't, did I? Because I saw something within each of you, and whatever it was, it still burns within you today. I don't want you to ever question your worth ever again. I love all of you, and I wouldn't take my decision to transform you back. I'm sure that once we're finished with Samilla's experiment, I feel the same way about her, too. She tried to kill us, and she fought hard against our resistance, but that doesn't change the fact that I see something within her. Perhaps it's the possibility for her to do good in the world, just like the rest of us.
Thank you, Charles,
Edany breathed and offered me a wide grin.
I don't think you understand how much it means to hear you say such things. Yes.
Cleia nodded.
Thank you.
There's no need to thank me, I chuckled. I'm simply telling you how I feel. I've felt this way for a long time, and I needed all of you to listen for a moment.
We're listening.
Daisy giggled.
We understand, and we'll never talk about ourselves that way again.
In one swift movement, I opened up the door to Compartment C, held out the container of blood in one hand, and swiftly uncorked it. The corrugated floor reflected my grimacing face back to me, and I stared down at it for a moment before I held out the bottle of preserved scarlet liquid. Then I counted off the droplets in my head, and right as the last one plinked off the metal, I pulled my arm back.
Is the core already inside?
Cleia asked. Yes, I assured. In a few strides, I crossed the room and headed toward the large panel of bulbs, lights, and switches. I rested my hand against the largest one, glanced over at AB, and then rested my eyes against my crowd of monster women. Ready? I asked, and each of them grinned excitedly.
Ready!
The chorus of feminine voices sang back. I gripped the lever a little tighter in my fist and swung it down into its cradle. Instantly, electricity crackled to life as it passed through the panel, traveled through the snaking black wires along the floor, and then finally reached the machine. Within seconds, the pistons at the top pumped to life, and a low thrumming emanated from the metal center of the machine. The low noise loudened and reached such a height that it almost sounded like a chorus of voices. The sound combined with all of the others into a single, warbling song. And right as light flooded through all three of my machine's windows, I shouted to my women. "Close your eyes!" I boomed. All of them clapped their hands over their eyes and lowered themselves closer to the floor. I quickly followed suit and listened as the noise reached a pinnacle. Right as I thought it'd keep going, the sound died away, and my machine clicked softly on the other side of the room. I opened my eyes and lifted my head as the sheer heat coming off my machine hit me at full force. I felt sweat bead on my face, and I hastily wiped it away with my shirt sleeve. My women and I slowly stood, and Valerie wafted her reddened face softly with a hand.
It's certainly hot in here,
the cat girl uttered.
Well, that's not normal, is it?
Was it that way with Cecilia's transformation?
Edeny asked.
I don't think it was. Charles, is it hotter in here?
I think I know what it is, I stated, stepped forward, and reached for the door handle into Compartment C. We took away Samilla's power, correct? We added it to the core and then used it on Cecilia. My machine used to give off a bit of heat and smoke before I made changes to it, but after I improved it, it's worked seamlessly.
What could it be?
Cleia asked. Samilla's power is intended for Samilla, I repeated. Her power is entirely her own. She was born with it. We took it away from her, combined it with the Drake's core, and then gave it back.
So,
Ryan uttered.
What does that mean? That's kind of confusing.
I believe we've done something I've intended to do for a very long time, I chuckled. Something I've wanted to do essentially since we got our hands on the elemental core. We've successfully augmented Samilla's powers. It wasn't the way I intended, but we did it. I wonder what she'll look like. By science, I wonder what her powers will be like. My hand brushed against the metal of the handle, and I immediately pulled back with a low hiss from the sheer heat. I grabbed a swatch of cloth from a side table, wrapped it around my hand, and then grabbed the handle. I ripped the door open, and right as I did, pure white steam poured out all around me. I wafted it away from my face and searched through the rising smoke for the shape of Samilla. I stepped forward and then felt an immense amount of power wash over me. It felt like the very first few times I'd stepped into the presence of the Duchess. Such an amount of power that it was barely contained within her body. This felt exactly like that, and I walked toward the entrance to call out to the Marchioness.
Samilla!
My voice started strong and then died in my throat as a hand reached out of the steam and gripped me by the wrist.
Charles!
The monster woman snarled in a raspy voice.
Charles Rayburn, get over here.
Samilla was still encapsulated by billowing steam, and I squinted to make out any of her features, but suddenly the Marchioness pulled me to her. My eyes widened and my mouth fell open as I took in all of her monstrous, terrifying beauty. I'd done it. I'd successfully augmented a woman's powers, and she... And she was my masterpiece of scientific genius.